When I was in Jordan last December, I didn't really see a lot of Pastor Iser during the days when I was teaching in the college. You know, he wasn't at the college. He was doing whatever the pastor does. And but on my days off was when I saw Iser. He was my tour guide. He was my taxi cab driver. And after riding with him, I really was hesitant to let him take my truck. But, you know, he said in the States he goes slow and he doesn't drive like a race car driver. I thought he was a pretty cool race car driver riding around with him over there. But I knew he'd be good in my truck, too, so I was good. But we became dear friends. And a couple times he really helped me out. You know, Ghassan would be pushing one way, and Iser would say, rah, rah, rah. And I, okay, I'll do that. So we were at the baptism site of Christ, supposedly, where he was baptized the other side of Jordan. And it's all roped off, so you can't go down. It's like a natural amphitheater, really cool, where John could preach and they could hear all around. And they said it's all roped off, so you can't go down. So the guy did his speech, and we started walking away, and Iser pulled me back. He said, stay here. So I stayed there, and a couple of the other group looked back and said, why is he staying there? Well, when they got out of sight, the tour guide came up, and Iser had arranged that I could jump the rope and go down to what's expected to be the true site. And the tour guide said, you know, nobody ever gets to come down here. This is holy ground, you know. Nobody ever gets to go down here. And it looked like a cow path, you know, tracks down there. And I said, well, I'm no great tracker, but it looks like a whole lot of footprints to me. And later what I found out is you can go down if you're American and you got a 20, you can go down as long as you got a friend like Iser set it up for you, amen, to get that special privilege. And then we got to the Dead Sea, and Ghassan said, oh, we got to be here for lunch, and there's not time to stop. And we didn't want to pay the entrance fee just to see the Dead Sea for 5 minutes and have to leave. So Iser drove up along the road until we came to a place where you could look down over the Dead Sea. And he said, Pastor, I know you want to go to the sea. Go ahead. But I said, Ghassan, no, go ahead. So he said, you may never be back here again. Go ahead. So it's a good thing I was a good shape, because I ran about a half a mile down to the Dead Sea on a bank like this. And going down was pretty easy. It was turning around and coming back up. But I really wanted to go swimming in the Dead Sea. I stuck my hand in the Dead Sea, and I could not get that slime off until I got the hot water and soap and about 3 washings before I could get it to feel like regular skin. All those minerals just kind of caked on, and I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I'm so glad I didn't jump in and have to ride the rest of the day like this. So Iser was a good friend, a good buddy. He kept me out of trouble, guided me in the right direction. And I was excited when Ghassan invited me back last night. And part of the reason to come back, I want to come with my wife. I want my wife to meet your wife. And I want to see our families get together one more time anyway before the Lord comes back. Amen. So you come preach to us, brother. It's a dear friend I invite to the pulpit tonight.
Well, good evening. I'm not going to preach in Arabic, don't worry. So I'm going to preach in English. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you for this. I did nothing in Jordan. The Lord has always guided us, and the Lord has always used us to do what He wants us to do. So if we did something, we did a little, according to what you did for me in this trip. Thank you. Thank you for hosting me in your house. It was great. Great time with you. Thank you very much. The message tonight will not be new for you. I think you may hear it many times because you always have a mission conference. It's about mission. So I think you may heard it before, but it's good for us to be reminded every while and then by the Holy Spirit about what the Lord wanted us to do. The message will be from Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. If someone would like to read it for us in loud voice, it would be great. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. And I think it's very familiar message for us. Yes, sir. Yes.
And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted, and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then he said unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest.
Thank you, sir. Before I will start, I just want to ask you a question. And today is Palm Sunday, right? What was the main thing happens in the Palm Sunday? Okay, that's great. This is the right answer. There is no other answer. Thank you. Jesus went and go to Jerusalem. I want you to imagine with me one thing. Jesus is entering Jerusalem riding his donkey, right? And all the crowd, all the multitude there were shouting, were singing, Hosanna. Yeah, that's right. But this is not this is my point. My point is they were celebrating him, right? They were praising him. They called him Son of David, the king, right? But that king was riding a donkey. Imagine he's riding the donkey and the donkey start thinking that they are celebrating him. Celebrating the donkey. And the donkey start think, oh wow, what nice people are celebrating me. And the donkey start greeting the multitude back and raised his hand. Can you imagine what will happen there? It's not about the donkey. It's all about our Lord, the only worthy to be praised, the only one who worthy to be worshipped and serve and be glorified in our life. Whenever we hear Lord Jesus Christ, for myself, I bow my head. Respect my Lord because what he did to me on the Calvary. My message tonight is about mission, about mission. When you look to the passage, you see that Jesus was going all about all the cities and the village. All about all the city and the villages. Means he went everywhere that time. So, once we were coming, me and my brother Ghassan, to the state. It was 2 years ago. And we arrived to JFK. And we supposed to get our car from a rental company. And we arrived to the airport. We went to take the car, the vehicle. When we went to the desk, we asked them, we need our car. We booked the car from Jordan. They said, okay, give me your driver license. I gave them my driver license. And they said, give me your credit card. I don't have credit card. They said, what? I said, my friend has the credit card. They look, the driver license under my name, the credit card under his name. You are not allowed to rent a car. Both of the IDs, the credit card and the driver license, must be under the same name. Oh, what are we doing? They said, we can't. We moved from one company to other. It was very, very cold. It was colder than this. And we went from Amman to here, and it was in Amman warm, and we just wearing a very light suit, a very light shirt. And we were moving, and we were moving. I was, you know, freezing. I was freezing, shaking. I was pulling my luggage, my two suitcases. My hands freezing, my ears freezing, my face freezing, everything freezing. When we kept going, you know, from company to other in JFK, we needed a car. We want to go to Providence, Rhode Island. Nobody let us rent a car. So what we are going to do? We took the shuttle to downtown, to Manhattan Penn Station, to take the bus to Rhode Island. We arrived at the bus station. The first one was next morning, where we are going to stay. We decide to stay in the station, but there is no place to sit. There is no chairs. And when we were there, we were looking, there's someone sleeping here, someone sitting here, someone without very, very dirty clothes. They are homeless, and they are tired, and they have no place to go. So I was looking at them, and I was saying, who's going to go to reach these people out? I was sad. I was sad for them, but this is the situation. And we decided to stay there, but we couldn't. We need to sleep, you know. After a very long, long flight, 12 hours, we need to sleep somewhere. So we went to search for a hotel, and we get back to be freezing again. And when we go out to the street, there is also people who are sleeping in the street. No place to go. Hopeless. Homeless. So that was, you know, hurting me because you may see this thing in our country, but not that much. You know, you may see one or two. Maybe you will not see anyone in the street. We searched for the hotel. The cheapest was 150, and we stayed there for 3 hours. But my story is, who are going to reach these people outside? When we are looking to the message, the passage, it said Jesus was going all about the city and the villages, and when he was traveling, he was doing three things, right? He was preaching and teaching, and he was evangelizing, and he was healing people. He was doing three things. He was traveling around. But the amazing thing that when Jesus was traveling, you know, I was imagining him sitting in his limo. Yeah, he was sitting in his limousine, a very, very fancy car. And he was holding his fancy cell phone. And he was every while and then opened the window, looking out. Hi, people, you need to be saved. Repent. No, no. Then he closed his window and start checking his emails and start sending WhatsApp messages or SMS messages. After a while, he opened the window. Oh, there is another one there. Oh, hey, you need to be repent. And then he closed again his window and going back to sit and start checking his Facebook page. And what amazing was the road during his time. The road was built very good. There is no problems. The light everywhere. Central heating in winter and AC in summer. And he was in his comfort zone sitting there going around in his fancy car. There is no thieves. No robbers. There is no wild animals to eat anybody walking in the desert. So it was safe for him to go around. Is that true? It's our situation. I'm talking about us. But Jesus was walking all the time. Was walking, no roads. Was walking, no AC, no central heating, no heat. It was cold or it was sunny. But he was walking. And he was walking to every city and every village. Because there is a mission he need to accomplish. There is people who needed to hear. There is people who needed to get saved. That's why Jesus was traveling. And he was doing three things, if you noticed. As I said, preaching, teaching, evangelizing, and healing. The Bible said that Jesus looked. And you know what he see, what he saw? What we are seeing today. He looked and see. The multitude are fainted and scattered like a sheep with no shepherd. And literally, the word fainted mean that they have no power to stand. They were exhausted. There is nobody to go out for them. And I see this picture everywhere, the same. People are fainted, scattered because of their sin, because of their life, miserable life. There is no hope. The same picture that Jesus was seeing is the same picture that we are seeing today. But Jesus was doing something. I'm asking myself always, am I doing my job? Am I doing my job totally? Am I going for these people? We always singing, bring them in, send the light, rescue the perishing. Are we meaning that? Are we singing that from our hearts or just a sing? We used to sing it. Are we going to bring them in? Are we going to rescue the perishing people? Are we sending the light as Jesus wanted us to send it outside? This questions I always ask myself about. That's why I'm asking you. Sometimes I'm not doing my job totally. Sometimes I do. But Jesus needed us to do it all the time. He left us here for that purpose. To be his hand. To hand out the good news for that people. Then Jesus, when he looked at them, the Bible said he moved by compassion. And I was thinking, what is the meaning of compassion? Oh, it's emotional thing. Emotional. He was moving by his emotion. Oh, no. He was moving by his thinking. No. He was moving by compassion means that he was very thrilled about them. He was very serious about their situation. He was doing what he needed to do, not what he feel he wanted to do. He was going. The Bible is great because he's going in order. Then he said, he called his disciple. When he called his disciple, he asked them to look. Sheep without shepherd need a shepherd, right? Sheep without hope need someone to bring hope for them. Look at them. He asked them to look. And when he asked them to look, that means if you don't have vision, you don't have mission. You need to have vision for your mission. You will not accomplish your mission if you don't have a vision for it. So Jesus wanted them to look, to see, to recognize what is the need. And he asked them one thing to do. He asked them to pray for the Lord of the harvest, to send laborer to his harvest. Prayer is a very important thing. You need to pray all the time. He said, pray all the time. Pray while you are standing, while you are sleeping, while you are going, while you are driving. But prayer itself is not enough to save people. You need to take the action. Pray and then go. Take the action to reach out these people. Pray for the Lord of the harvest to send laborer to his harvest, because the harvest is plenteous, but the laborer are few. And I think when Jesus called them, he just wanted them to hear, not to go. Is that right? He wanted them to go because in the first verse of chapter 10, if you look to your book, he said he called them and sent them. When he sent them, he asked them to do the same what he was doing. He sent them to preach and teach. He sent them to evangelize and he sent them to heal. But they are not the healer. He is the only one who can heal. But he sent them to do the same what he was doing. Go. But I think when he called them, come and go, they told him, Lord, I can't go. I don't want to go. I'm very old. No, I'm very young. I did not have enough training to go. I need more training. No. The Bible said, they go. Jesus looked at them and sent them. In chapter 10, sent them a very specific mission. He said to them, to the Gentile, don't go. To the cities of Samaritan, don't go, but go to the sheep of Israel. It's a very specific mission. And I think this is my mission to my family. This is my mission to my neighbor. This is my mission to my city, my country. And it's the same for you. Do you believe that all members of your family are saved? If they are not, if they're just one, your mission to reach him out first, your family members, then to look after that to your neighbor, then after that to your neighborhood, after that to your city, and after that to your country. This is not a request. It's an order from the Lord Jesus Christ to go out. He's not requesting us to do this, oh, if you can. No, no, no. You have to be able to do that because he asked you to do. And you have to go if the Lord calling you. Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. If I am saying, here am I, Lord, send me, I have to obey him if he said to me, go. But we always singing and keep sitting. And people outside dying, people outside going to hell, they will be perishing in hell. And we are doing nothing. When he asked his disciples to go to the sheep of Israel, he asked them to go and they directly obey him and go. Directly, no hesitating. They take themselves, they went direct because they knew that people there needed their help, needed their good news. They went out and they preach, they teach, and they help, and they obey his order and go. You know, when he sent them, he did not send them empty also. Do you remember what the Bible said about that? He sent them with his power. That's why they succeed in their mission. And that's why I said it's all about him. That's why I said always, it's not me, it's him. Just open your mouth. If you are honest with him, he will use you. He will give you the word you are going to say. You will not speak your words. You will speak what he gave. Just go out. People are needing you outside. Please don't keep waiting. Don't say it's not today, tomorrow I will go. Maybe you will not have tomorrow. Maybe the one that you are going to reach him out will die today. So you don't know what that will happen. But the only thing you can do is to go and reach people out. He sent them to do the same what he was doing. When you look to Luke chapter 9 and verse 17, when he sent the 70 disciples, when Jesus sent the 70 disciples to the all nation known that time, if you remember what they come back and told Jesus. Do anybody remember without opening the Bible? Just remember what he said, what they said to him. They said, Lord, even the devil was subjected to us under thy name. Even the devil were subjected to us under thy name. This is the power that is with you. This is the power that Jesus sent you with. His power and the Holy Ghost power. But we always say, oh, it's not my business. It's not my job. It's the pastor job, it's the co-pastor or the associate pastor or the song leader. It's not my job, it's your job. It's your job, it's my job, it's your job. It's everyone who saved, who received the gift of save responsibility. People are dying, people are perishing, people are suffering outside. They need to hear a good gospel. You may say they are not listening. They will not be listening. They may kick me out. They may curse me. They may... Don't worry about that. Because they did that to Jesus also. They did that to his disciple. They killed some of them. They imprisoned some of them. So it's not about me. It's about him. It's a privilege. It's an honor for me to put me in prison for his name. If you believe in him, you have to go with him wherever he ordered you to go. Right after the falling of Saddam regime in 2003, we were going to Iraq. Me and my two American friends, one of them working for Food the Hungry, and the other working for the radio broadcasting Christian station. And they were going to Iraq to help poor people, and it was an assessment trip. We were going to find out the needs there. So on our way to Baghdad, and it was right after the falling of Baghdad. It was in April 2003. And we were going on our way on the highway between Fallujah, between Ramadi and Fallujah. If anybody went to Iraq, you will know what I'm talking about. It was the most dangerous place in all over Iraq that time, before what happened in Nineveh later. We were on the highway, and you know, they cut the road for us, and they went out of their car, and they were holding automatic guns. What do you call it? Machine guns. And they went out of the car, of their car, cutting the road, and they came to our car. When they looked in the car, they said, "From where you are?" I said, "From Jordan." They said, "Step out of the car." I said, "Why?" They said, "We need these two Americans. We are going to kill them." I said, "Why?" They said, "Because they invade our country." I said, "Lord, give me enough wisdom to save my friends, because they are my responsibility." They enter our car and they are about to leave. I opened the back door and I jump in the car. I said, he said, "Get out of the car, you Jordanian. We don't want you." I said, "No, I would stay." He said, "No, you are not going to stay." I said, "I'm going to stay." And I stayed in the car. They took us into the desert, as you said, in the middle of nowhere. And they take us out of the car and they were about to shoot my two friends. In our culture, you have to protect your guest, even if you are going to give your life. This is our culture. And I think that lady knows what I'm talking about. Your guest is your responsibility. You take him safe, you have to bring him back safe. So I said to them, "Don't kill my friends." He said, "We will kill them." I said, "If you want to kill them, you have to kill me first." And he looked at me and he said, "Hey, Jordanian, step aside. We don't want to kill you. We have nothing to do against you. We are going to kill them." Then I stayed in the middle. I said, "If you want to go to kill them, they are my guests. You have to shoot me first." And they stayed calm down. I told him one statement. "They love your country more than you do." He said, "What?" I said, "They are coming to help poor people, and you are going to kill them. You are the worst. They are good people. They are coming to help your people. They are going to bring food for the needy family." And, you know, everything was changed when I said to him that they love your country more than you. He said, "Then give me the money." I said, "Search them." He searched them. He finds $60 with them. And he said, "Where is the money?" I said, "If I gave you the money, you will let them free?" He said, "Yes." And I was holding $5,000 in my pocket. And we were going to buy food for the needy family. And I told him, "This is the money. But you take the poor family's money for yourself." He said, "Doesn't matter for me." I said, "That's why they love your country more than you do." And they left us in the middle of nowhere. And we hardly find our way back to the highway. And we went there. One of them never came back to Iraq. Ed never came back to Iraq. But Peter keep coming because he loves his God. Because he has vision. Because he loves what is he doing to his word. And he kept going with us to Iraq for 4 years. This is the mission. This is what Jesus Christ, the Lord, asked us to do. To love him more than we love our job, more than we love our cars, more than we love our comfort zone, and to go outside and to serve him. People needed us. The first time, the first day I was here, Pastor asked me to give a little devotion, and it was, you know, I was thinking about that story always, but I never thought about this story like that day. I was always looking to this story as who is the important person in it. And I think you remember, you know this story. The story is in 2 Kings chapter 5, and it's talking about Naaman the leper. Who do you think the hero of this story? Naaman, the king of Syria, the king of Israel, Elisha, the wife of Naaman. Who is the hero in this story? I think all of us need to be like that little girl. You know, that little girl was serving Naaman the leper, and the lepers always are unclean for the Jewish people. They brought her as a slave. They brought her as a prisoner. She was forced to clean his clothes, to prepare his bed. And when he needed help, she told him to go to the prophet of God, to Elisha, send him back to Israel. Instead of keeping silent to protect herself and to protect her people, because he's going back. He invaded their country. He killed many of them. Naaman, he was the leader of the army of the king of Syria. And he brought her as a prisoner. But she cannot keep silent because she know what her God is able to do. Oh, my lady, ask my master to go to the prophet of God in Israel and he will be healed. And the Lord Jesus Christ take this story and said there is many lepers during the Naaman days, but only one was healed, Naaman. Then Naaman went without negotiation, without discussing. He went to his king and asked him to give him a letter to go to Israel. And his king gave him that letter and he went and he get healed. In the end, Naaman said, now I know there is only one true God, God of Israel, because that young girl opened her mouth and speaks. And sometimes we are keeping our mouth closed because we are afraid, are they going to accept our story or not? Please go out. Please go out because the church is not inside the walls. You need to have fellowship with your brothers and sisters. You need to come to the meeting. You need to come and pray with your friend, with your family. But you need to go out and bring them in, as we were singing. Because when you one day stand, when you face Jesus Christ, what are you waiting to hear from him? What is the way that he will welcome you? Do you think that you will hear, welcome you, good servant, enter to my joy? I will leave this with you. Your people needed you. Your country needed you. And others needed us and need. Please pray for us, for our ministry. Thank you, Pastor.
We've had some good messages this conference, and it's kind of like waiting for dessert. I think we kept the best for last. That really touched my heart, and thank you for that.